Well, it's good to be with you here today. We bring our greetings from Liberty Baptist Church, and we're praying for you folks there in the assisted living. And we long for the day when we can come and be back with you in person. But we thank the Lord for this opportunity through the DVDs to come to you and worship the Lord together. So I pray this time could be a great blessing to your heart today. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these dear folks who have been shut in so long. And Lord, we pray for the folks that are experiencing the sickness. And Father, we pray for your healing touch. And most of all, Father, we pray that you would feed us with bread from heaven today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to look at a verse today of Scripture to encourage your hearts. Because you might feel that because you are shut in at this time at the assisted living, that you might feel like you're kind of out of touch with what's going on in our country. But I want to assure you today that you are very needed in our country. And I hope I can convey that to you today. Well, let's look at this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now, I don't know how much you've been keeping up on the news where you're at, but our country needs healing in a big way. And I know you are of the age, and I'm getting to be that age as well, but when you get up in years, you sometimes feel like the younger generation really doesn't need you. I mean, they're in charge. And of course, in the country, although we have a president right now in his 70s and we're in the middle of deciding an election, which way it's going to go. So both men, I believe, are in their 70s right now. So they're not super young. But a little younger than probably what you are right now. But nonetheless, you might feel like you're at the point where you're kind of removed from the whole system. And like maybe you're not needed, but you are needed. I want to get that across to you today. Your prayers for our nation are greatly needed right now. Notice with me in James chapter 5. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and what? Pray one for another that ye may be healed. Remember what we saw in 2 Chronicles 7:14? Let's go back there just a second. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what? Heal their land. That's what we need. Now let's go back to James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be what? Healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That is what we need. Our nation right now needs fervent, effectual prayer. That's what we need. Our country is kind of hanging on a cliff right now, my friends. Right now, one of the candidates for president has vowed that if indeed he is installed, inaugurated in office, that on the first day of his term, on the first day, he's going to sign a paper that is once again going to allow American money to support abortion across the whole world. Now, our question today is, what does God say about that? What does God say? Well, let's look at Psalm 139. We can see what God says. The Bible says of God, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me where? In my mother's womb. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. That's a person speaking. You've covered me in my mother's womb. I am not just a blob of matter. I am a person in my mother's womb. So he goes on, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, the older we get, the more we understand just how wonderfully these bodies are made, because when something goes wrong in a system in this body, we really realize how complex the body is. He goes on, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Yet in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." You know, it's kind of like building a house. The house is roughed in, the roof is on, and you say, "I'm going to go look at the house and see how it's doing." Well, the house isn't finished. Well, then why are you calling it a house? Well, because it is a house. It is a house. It's a house in building. And you see, the world does not like to admit that a baby in the womb is a living person. The world likes to say, well, because the baby isn't finished, it's not a baby. It's just a blob of matter. Well, would you say of the new house that's roughed in, would you say, "I'm going to go visit the lumber today"? Visit the lumber? What do you mean, visit the lumber? You're going to go look at a pile of lumber? No, it's a house. It's taking shape. It's a house. Well, a baby in the womb is taking shape. It's still a baby. It's just in the process of being finished. That's what God says. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect," like the house. The house is framed in. It's a house. It's just not finished. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." What do you have when you're building a house? A blueprint. And that blueprint shows where the windows are going to be, how the siding is going to look, where the cement is going to be in front of the garage. Inside it has where all the walls are going to be, the kitchen, the dining room, the living room, the bedrooms. You see, the blueprint has all of the finished features, how it's going to be. Well, you know what? God has a blueprint for your life and mine. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written." There's the blueprint. "In his book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." You can look at the blueprint and see what the carpenters are going to do next. You can see how it's going to look in the end. Well, God has in his book all of our members as they're being fashioned. He's got the blueprint. But the world does not like to admit that's the baby. Do you know why? Because abortion is the god, is the idol of an immoral world. Because you see, an immoral world wants to commit immorality with other people. And if, by chance, a baby is conceived, they want a way, they want a legal way to get rid of that baby. They don't want the responsibility. They don't want to be tied to someone else because they don't want to marry them. So abortion is the god. It's the ultimate idol of an immoral people, of an immoral generation. So abortion stops a beating heart. Now, how do you usually tell if somebody's alive or dead? You check their pulse. You check and see if their heart is beating. Well, you know what? When abortion stops a beating heart, abortion is murder. And that's how God looks at it. So what does God say? Well, look at Numbers 35:33. This is what God says. "So ye shall not" what? "Pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land." And look at this. "And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. You know, people are so worrying and fretting about pollution. Air pollution. Water pollution. All kinds of pollution. If you sell your house, they're going to ask you a question on a paper. Do you know if there's ever been an oil spill on your land? Has your car ever dripped oil? Have you ever changed your own oil and spilled some? People are so worried about polluting air, water, and land. But they are not taking into account what God says. Because God says, when you shed innocent blood, you are defiling the land. You are polluting the land. Those same people often despise what God has said in His Word. So your prayers right now are needed for our nation because, as I said, one of these candidates, if he gets in, promises the very first day to sign a paper freeing up American money to perform abortions across this world. And now you know what God thinks about that. It's murder. It's shedding innocent blood. It's polluting the earth and the land of this world. Your prayers are greatly needed right now for our nation, that God would help us. Look at 2 Kings 21. Manasseh was a king. His daddy was godly, but Manasseh was a wicked man. He did end up repenting after time, but let's read about Manasseh. 2 Kings 21:1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. A little young, wasn't he? And reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. It's a little over two terms, isn't it? He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was what? Evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now, God refers to the abominations of the heathen. I want you to remember that phrase. It goes on. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah's father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and serve them. See, he didn't serve the true and the living God. He was an idol worshiper. And he built altars in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine? He built his altars and put his idols in the house of God, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son what? Passed through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. You know, there are TV programs today which would have you believe that there are good wizards and bad wizards and good witches and bad witches. Let me tell you something. In God's eyes, they're all abomination. They're all dealing in witchcraft, and that is Satanism. There's no such thing as a good witch or a good wizard. We have been deceived. But one of the things that Manasseh did, the very first thing, he made his son pass through the fire. Manasseh sacrificed his son on the altar to his gods. Remember what I said about abortion, what it is? Abortion is the god, the idol, at which immoral people vow. They look to that idol. They look to abortion to erase their sin of immorality if a child is conceived in their immorality. Well, the Bible goes on in verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood. That's what abortion is. Abortion is shedding innocent blood. Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Do you realize since 1973 when abortion was legalized, there have been over 40 million babies killed? over 40 million. Imagine that. Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. That's what we've done in America. Beside his sin, wherewith he had made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And just like what happened with Israel will happen to America if we don't straighten up. The Bible says in 2 Kings 24:1, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants, the prophets. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of who? Manasseh, according to all they did. What did Manasseh do? He shed innocent blood. He filled Israel with innocent blood, which pollutes the ground. And also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would what? Not pardon. My friends, you may feel like you're out of the whole political realm, but you are not. Your prayers for America are needed, greatly needed right now. We need to pray that God would give us leaders who would fear him. We need to pray that God would give us leaders who recognize that abortion is murder and not support it. The Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is what? A reproach to any people. And that goes for us as Americans as well. The Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into where? Into hell. And all what? The nations. The nations that what? Forget God. My friends, we have forgotten God. We have forgotten God. And we are just teetering on the brink right now of this political election. We need a president, a vice president, senators and congressmen that fear God, lest America be destroyed. Remember what the Bible says? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? Pray. You see, this is your part right now. This is where you're needed to pray for America. Seek my face to pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what? Heal their land. My friends, that's what we need, and you play a key part in that through your prayers. You know, you may say once again, I just feel so far removed from everything in America. But you're not. I want to give you an illustration here of someone that was far removed from his homeland. His name is Joseph. But God used him to spare his people. God used him to rescue his people. God can use you to rescue America. In Genesis 37:26, Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? He's talking about Joseph. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, and our flesh and his brethren were content. So they did. They sold their very own brother to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold him to an Egyptian man. Joseph was a godly man there. He was falsely accused at times, thrown in prison, but he is still a godly man. God rescued him out of prison and caused him to interpret a dream for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so God exalted Joseph. In Genesis 41:39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. What has God showed you this morning, this afternoon, whenever you're viewing this DVD? God has showed you from His Word that abortion is murder. It's shedding innocent blood. It pollutes the land. It defiles the land. And that someone is needed to pray for the healing of our land. Joseph was a godly man. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was a servant, a slave, wrongly sold to the Egyptians, but he was a godly man. And so he was confined to Egypt, but God used him, confined in Egypt, to rescue His people. God can use you. You may feel like you're confined to the assisted living, but God can use you where you are to rescue America. You are needed this this day. In Genesis 45:5, this is Joseph talking to his brothers. Later on, they're reunited, and they're really feeling bad about what they did to their brother. But he says this, Joseph speaking, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to what? Preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God what? Sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So even though Joseph was far away in a foreign land, God was going to use him, and he did, to rescue his people. Listen, you may feel like you're far removed from your home, your property, your family, your friends. You may feel like you're far, far away. But listen, you're needed. God needs you. Your country needs you to pray for godly leaders, to pray for healing. Once again, if my people, which are called by my name, now the question is today, are you one of God's people? Are you called by His name? You may say, I don't know. Well, how do you know? How can you become? Well, the Bible says this, for ye are all what? The children of God. It's what we're talking about. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, are you a child of God? For ye are all the children of God by how? By what? Faith. Faith in who? Christ Jesus. It didn't say you're the children of God by baptism. What does it say? By faith. It didn't say you're the children of God by church membership. It says you're the children of God by what? Faith. It didn't say you're the children of God by giving money. What does it say? By what? By faith. You're all the children of God by faith. Faith in who? Christ Jesus. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you get saved from your sins, by faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible says He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as what? Received Him. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become what? The sons of God. Remember what we said? If my people, which are called by my name, how do you get to be one of His people? How do you get to be called by His name? By faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26, by receiving Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on His name. So how do you become a son of God? By what? Believing on His name. It does not say you become a son of God by being baptized. It says by believing on His name. It doesn't say you become a son of God by joining a church. It says by what? Believing on His name. It doesn't say you become a son of God by giving money. What does it say? It says you become a son of God to them that believe on His name. Have you believed on Jesus' name? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe, where? In thine heart. Getting saved, becoming a child of God, is more than just lip service. It's more than just saying something. It's believing it in your heart. Thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be what? Saved. It didn't say you might be saved. It didn't say you'll start being saved. It says if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not maybe, it's shall. Look down in verse 13. The Bible says, for whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. It didn't say if you call upon the Lord, you might be saved. It says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So the question is have you called? Have you called upon the name of the Lord to be saved? From your heart, call upon him. Say, dear Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I do confess that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and my sin. I do believe that Jesus was buried and rose again in victory from the grave. I do believe that Jesus is coming again. And I do ask you, Jesus, to save me from all my sin and to give me a new life serving you. In Jesus' name I pray. That is the heart cry that will bring you salvation. And so if you've never been saved, would you call upon him today? And when you make that decision, would you please go to God in prayer and pray for our nation? If my people, now you know what it takes, don't you? You know what it takes to become one of his people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, would you do that today? Would you humble yourself and pray for our nation? And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. If God speaks to your heart that something in your life is not pleasing to him, it's not right, would you turn from that wicked way? And would you turn to God and say, oh, please lead me in the right way. I'm sorry for my sin. Please lead me in the right way. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what? Heal their land. My friends, our land needs healing. You can be an important part of that, just like Joseph. Joseph also was set aside. He could not leave Egypt. Just like you can't leave the assisted living. Well, maybe you can. But if you leave, they might not let you back in. I don't know what the rules are right now. But Joseph could not leave Egypt. But Joseph rescued Israel from destruction of famine because he was a child of God. And he was in tune, in touch with God. And God helped him to rescue Israel from the famine. We need you. Don't feel like you're cast aside and unneeded. We need you today. Most of all, if you're not saved, we want you to be saved. And secondly, we need you to pray for us. We need you to pray for America. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for America. We confess we are on the brink of destruction. We need your help. We need a great revival. We need a great turning to you. Lord, please bless these dear folks in the assisted living. Lord, please bless them. For any that are not saved, help them to trust you right now. And Lord, for those that are saved, we desperately need their prayers in our nation. Please bless them in Jesus' name.